You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Special thanks to Cheese Curd Nick being in the house. And now we're going to switch from deep fried cheese to people that eat really, really good, and they do it for a great cause. Brian Slinger and Christy Sickle, 24-hour ultra relay on Washington Island, going for the Willow Creek Cornerstone Child Advocacy Center. Welcome, both of you. Who has the harder job here?
I think it probably depends on the day.
Okay.
But I will give that to Christy.
All right.
Hi, Christy. I just want to say this ultra marathon that you're doing, he does say in here, Johnny, though, finally, we bring some fresh brick oven pizza.
Oh, I saw that.
That's not all bad.
Yes.
You got a carbo load.
Yes.
Tell us about the event. It's unbelievable.
It is.
So this will be my fourth year doing this.
By the way, introduce yourself, Brian.
I am Lieutenant Brian Slinger. I'm a detective supervisor with the Sheriff's Office here in Brown County. I've been with them for 25 years. I've been in the investigative division for 10, which I've been working with Christy here for those years through my time doing crimes against children. And
thank you for doing that.
I realize how important that work is, and especially what they do for us. And I want to draw attention to what they do for the community.
But, excellent.
So this event, basically, it is either a 24-hour or 36-hour event that each participant can choose which they want to do, or actually even 12. This year, I'm doing it by myself for the 24 hours. In the past year, my team, who I said I'd give a shout out to, Organized Chaos, we've done the 24-hour and the 36-hour. But this year I decided I'm going to do it by myself to see what I can do to raise money for the Willow Tree.
How do people donate?
So I've got a flyer that I'm trying to pass around as much as I can through social medias. And we probably can get you guys a link as
Please
well.
Please do.
Where you can scan in. Yeah, you can scan in the code. You can either pledge per triathlon completed, or you can just do a general donation amount if you're more comfortable with that.
All right. Excellent. So the Willow Tree, I think a lot of people know where it is. I'm not sure they all know what goes on behind those walls. So let's talk a little bit about the Willow Tree. I mean, that, a lot of effort to get that thing built, and just the comfort it
the
gives
purpose.
Kids. The purpose. Yeah. And tell us a little bit about the Willow Tree.
And welcome, Christy.
Yeah, well, thank you. So first of all, my name is Christy Sickle. I am the program manager and one of the child forensic interviewers at the Willow Tree Cornerstone Child Advocacy Center. So we're located right in downtown Green Bay. We've been open since January of 2011, but despite Willow Tree's longevity, we're not readily known so much in the community. At Willow Tree, we assist with providing services to investigative parties when they are conducting an active investigation of child abuse and neglect. So we do this by providing a specific service to assist with the investigation, while at the same time, we're providing supportive resources to the child and their family to help them move forward from the traumatic situation that the child may have experienced.
And that was so needed here. The judges were like, we got to do this. And the community really stepped up on that. I thought that was a great fundraiser when Cornerstone and everybody stepped
up. Well, it also brings it to the light.
Right.
It brings
That's
it to
true.
The surface.
That's a good, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And before, I've been at Willow Tree for 9 years. I don't want to date myself, but prior to working at Willow Tree, I also worked at Brown County Child Protective Services. So before Willow Tree opened its doors, there wasn't a community protocol or an interagency agreement about how we are going to investigate these types of crimes.
Right.
At Willow Tree, we work together as a multidisciplinary team. When a child is navigating through a child abuse investigation, oftentimes it involves more than law enforcement. We have law enforcement who is investigating if a crime has been committed. We have Child Protective Services assuring the safety of the child in the home. We have advocates who provide supportive services to the child and the family. We have forensic interviewers like myself who are specifically trained in eliciting sensitive information from children. in a way that is developmentally sensitive and legally right. sound. We also have medical providers. We have therapists. We have prosecutors who may be trying the case. So really the concept behind Willow Tree is to really minimize the amount of time a child has to continuously share about their experience. And also minimizes the amount of places that they have to go from the start of the investigation to the end.
Yeah. I mean, not to be flippant, but like one-stop shopping type of thing where, you know, which traumatically that can make, you know what I mean? You get a little bit more comfortable possibly being in one place and getting it all done. Wouldn't you agree?
Exactly. Yeah. So a child can come to Willow Tree and instead of like meeting with their investigative team at their police department or going to human services or to the district attorney's office, a child can come to Willow Tree and all those entities right. can come to them. Right. They can receive help from the very beginning of the interview. I mean, excuse me, the very beginning of the investigation through a child forensic interview, child maltreatment medical evaluation, supportive victim advocacy, and then a child can continue coming to Willow Tree to see one of our counselors to help them move forward.
That's great. And I remember that. That was 2011. Wow. Captain, so you are...
Lieutenant.
He has never gotten a rank correct in military, law enforcement. He can't even get the Salvation Army people ranks correct.
Well, the sheriff was in yesterday, so that one I do have right. So you, this fundraiser, unique fundraisers are always, you know, I was kind of looking for an angle. Somebody can sponsor you and $10 an hour, and you can do this thing for 20, you may do 20 hours, 23 hours. The teams... Tell me how this thing works again, because I think I'd like to sponsor somebody on this event.
Yeah, so this is, I'm the only one that I know of that's doing it for a charitable cause. Normally it's just,
I see.
Normally just guys are out there just doing it as a team, and then it's a competition to see who can get the most done.
Thanks for doing that.
Yeah,
that's
so
awesome.
I took it upon myself just to, last year when I was biking in the middle of the night at like, I think it was like 3 a.m, going down one of the county roads on Washington Island. I'm like, you know, this is cool and all, like doing this for the team, but I should probably do this for a cause. So pledging is going to be like per triathlon completed. So okay. A triathlon up there is considered one loop of the swim course, which is a quarter mile, one run, which is 2 miles, and then one bike, which is approximately 10 miles. So my goal is, I had some numbers written down, is to do probably in the 15 triathlon range, which would put me at about 4 miles of swimming, 150 miles of biking, and then 30 miles of running. I got a coach.
Is that a year he's been watching?
I have a coach down in Madison.
I go back to 2014.
No, I have a coach down in Madison that I'm working with because I'm doing the Ironman in September again.
Yeah. Wow.
So I have to talk with him about how much I'm actually going to do, but right around the 15 mark is probably going to be my goal. We can only swim during the day.
15 hours.
No, 15 triathlon loops.
Or I mean 15 loops, yeah.
Yeah, so there's only, obviously you can only swim and run and bike so fast. Right. And I have 24 hours to do it.
How long, don't you have to recover from the swim? That seems like that would be the...
I'm a high school swimmer,
okay.
And I swam a little bit after that. So swimming is my easy part.
Okay, that's great.
It just depends on the wind up there.
Right.
How the lake or the bay is.
Right. I mean, you have spotters with you.
So you can only swim during the day from 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. They do have some people on shore, but I mean, typically you're wearing a wetsuit and there's a lot of other people out there. So you're good to go. And the loop
sure.
is, yeah. And it's unlike a traditional triathlon, you can do like all your swims right away if you want to. So I could swim 15 loops right away, which is probably what I'll do. And then get out of the water.
Of course. I like to get that out of the way too.
Take a little break. Yeah. Take a little break and then, hit the bike and run.
It's funny, we've had people like you similar to you and you're, this is really something, but they talk about swimming sometimes being the most difficult, not because of the length, but because there's so many people and, you know, they practice swimming.
Your face and
people kicking
like
in the head and it's just, it gets, that's sometimes what they say is the most difficult. What you're doing, I think, is really smart in that you can swim alone and you can get it all done in one section.
Yeah. And honestly, this course is set up really nice. It's really safe. And there's not as many people out there. They limit the amount because it's Washington Island. So the amount of people that they can have on the island at a time is limited. This is such a popular event. They have a wait list.
I was going to say people want, this is one of those ones. They have more people that want to get in that they can allow in.
Yeah.
Right?
And some of the money from our registration fees actually goes back to the island as well. So, that's another thing for people to think about.
Yeah. I'm going to, ask you a little bit about your job, you know, 25 years with the Sheriff's Department, 10 years in this, you must, I don't know, sleepless nights, maybe that's the right word, but you must want to like kill people at at times, right? I mean, that how frustrating that is to see some innocent little
kids. First of all, he's going to deny that. Yeah. I will just, no. My client denies that accusation.
Honestly.
You know what I'm saying about the frustration?
I know.
Looking
yeah, it can be frustrating. I will say that up until about 10 years ago, I was like trying to find my like what and why, like what I'm going to focus on. Mm-hmm. And then when I got in the investigative division, I began doing juvenile cases because the way that our assignments work out, I mean, I was able to pick that. And once I found that and found that
niche
or like started working with Christy at the CAC and started working with Child Protective Services and all these other entities, I really found what I was passionate about. And I don't have children of my own, but I do have a niece and nephew, and I couldn't imagine if they were the victims of a crime. And trying to get them the best possible services and making it so that we're all together, looking out for their betterment. No matter what the outcome is on, mm-hmm. on the criminal side of it, they're the number one priority.
Christy, where's your passion? We always ask that. What's the, you know, there's got to be something inside where it's not just a job. What's your passion?
My passion, I often get asked that question. How do you sleep at night? How do you hear these bad things over and over again? And I think there's a lot of like preconceived notions that kids are coming into these interviews or they're walking into Willow Tree and they're very upset. They're crying. But Willow Tree is designed to be trauma informed. We provide a child friendly home like environment for kids. So what I'm really passionate about is providing children with that kind of that first step forward to their healing process. I think it's a privilege to be able to help a child and to kind of be that person that kind
you're
of helps them
in
move
a safe
forward.
Place, yes. If nothing else to begin
yes.
with, right?
Yes. A forensic interview is not necessarily, it's not a therapy session or a counseling session. It's part of an investigation, but oftentimes it can be therapeutic for a child, you know, sharing something that they maybe have kept a secret for years because someone has told them not to tell or they were scared to share. And I'm really passionate to be able to provide that space to That's a child awesome. To help them move forward.
So I'll talk to both of you about careers because we have people that, you know, and I also am an instructor. Tell me about your career path. And you, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. You were with the department for 25 years. Tell me just about how you got into that, high school, or what was your dad? Was your dad?
No, so I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do coming out of high school.
Well, there's
so
a few people like that.
Yeah, so I went to the Fox Valley Technical College, started out for something else, and realized pretty quick that I was not smart enough to do that. It was like computer robotics and all this kind of stuff. And
I thought you were going to say radio broadcast.
Well, he was smarter than
right,
that.
Huh? Yeah.
Like, yeah. Well, you're smarter than that.
But then I started thinking back to some people that, you know, affected me when I was growing up. And I had a school resource officer at Madison Junior High School in Appleton that I really looked up to. And I thought, you know, I should go look into that. So I went to the police academy 2-year degree down there and got hired with Brown County back in 2000. Worked awesome. Patrol mostly on night shift for 12 years. And then I spent some time in the drug task force before being moved to investigative division.
See, those SROs, they really could influence a kid. And I don't know if they really see that and how we talk about teachers. I think they realize that more because we get people in here all the time. And who is your biggest 9 out of 10 times? Well, I mean, not 10, but 8 out of 10 times it's a teacher, you know, that no or question. Someone in school. Yeah. All right, we can come back. I want to hear about your career path. That's a very interesting field you're in. We're going to do a quick break here, I think. Are we? No?
Yes.
No?
Quick break.
Okay. All right, so we'll be right back.
Right after this with Brian and Christy Sickle.
I can easily feel myself slipping and slipping more and more away into that super world of my own. Nobody but you and me.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Mind of the Mayor here, beautiful Wednesday morning. Brian Slinger, Brown County Sheriff's Department, Christy Sickle, from the Willow Tree Cornerstone Child Advocacy Center. We're talking about what Brian's doing with the 24-hour ultra relay on Washington Island. When's that coming up, Brian? When is that?
July 25th and 26th.
Okay. And he's doing it to raise proceeds for Willow Creek Cornerstone Child Advocacy Center.
Willow Tree.
What did I say?
Willow Creek.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And there is actually a Willow Creek in town, but we are Willow Tree.
Okay. Isn't that a bowling alley or something? Willow Creek?
It is, actually. Yeah, there's a few different Willow Creeks.
That's a place I got in trouble with the Sheriff's Department.
That makes sense.
Because we did that bowling benefit, and I walked out with the bowling shoes on.
Yeah.
And didn't realize for a couple of days.
That's a felony, I think.
I think it is. I think it might have been Bill Morgan that chased me down. Well, tell us a little bit about more what you do. But even aside from this, we want to get you on again and devote an entire segment to what you people do, because I think it's so important. And unfortunately, it's not going away. You'd think maybe at some point it's just, it's more prominent, maybe, would you say, Brian? You know what I mean? It's like you hear about it a little bit more than years ago. It seems like people used to try to keep it under the covers more and...
Yeah, I think just more attention is being drawn to it, which is good.
Which is a good
because
thing,
it gets,
is what I mean.
It gets people empowered to talk about it. It makes them have the ability to come forward.
Right.
And especially with like social media and all these different platforms that we're seeing now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the ability to abuse a kid is also easier because of the digital world that we
Predators.
Live in. Exactly.
Well, Christy, go ahead and tell us everything we can do to help you guys.
Well, I think just kind of being here today and sharing that Willow Tree does exist and how we assist the community. So the brunt of our investigative cases or children or families that we serve are from Brown County. However, we service all of Northeast Wisconsin.
Oh.
So we are getting families traveling down as far as Marinette, the northern tip of Wisconsin, Door County, Kewaunee County, to utilize our services. So kind of like had Brian had mentioned, like it's not readily talked about. So that prevention and outreach and just bringing the community or making the community aware that we exist and the importance of reaching out to a child and family in need can really go a long way.
So all good things cost money, or most good things. Tell me about your funding. I was under the assumption, I was wrong, that it was 100% funded by the county, and that's not the case.
Yeah, I think that's a common misconception. So Willow Tree is an umbrella program within Family Services of Northeast Wisconsin, which is a larger nonprofit that provides an array of supportive services. Our funding is, we get some county and state funding. We also receive some grants, but 33% of our budget is coming from fundraising events.
Oh, okay.
So community outreach,
things like he's doing.
Exactly what what Brian is doing. We have a large fundraiser that we host every year at St. Norbert's College that is also coming up on August 6th.
Let us promote that.
That's
we're a little
I mean.
Far
yeah,
out, but we would like to do that.
Right, let's
one event at a time, how about, right?
Yeah, exactly. No,
but we enjoy doing that. And people, I think people want to help, and sometimes they just
don't
know
how.
We want
to give the awareness.
Right.
We're not writing out $10,000 checks, but we just want to make it really aware.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So 33% comes from just the public.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, well, that's cool. All right.
Brian, once again, how can we donate? Because I want to donate to this, too.
So I'll definitely get you guys my flyer, my link, and then I think
we can put it on our Facebook and stuff. Hey, Todd.
Yeah, and Family Services also had the link available to do that. Otherwise, just reach out to me at the sheriff's office. I can put you in contact. All the money goes directly into Willow Tree. None of it comes to me. It all goes to the Willow Tree. It's all through the links that they provide. It's 100% the money goes there. It has nothing to do with raising money for myself or for anything else. It's just completely for the Willow Tree. I have had some really good sponsors already step up for me. The Green Bay Fraternal Order of Police, the Brown County Sheriff's Benevolent, the Green Bay Police Benevolent, Hobart Lawrence Police Department pooled a bunch of money together for me. I don't know if you guys have paid advertisements or anything, so I don't want to be giving anyone
credit.
Hey,
for this cause, go ahead.
I'm a team rider for Pete's Garage Bicycle Shop down on
great.
Broadway.
Absolutely.
And they're kind of helping me out with some things for this. So there's a lot of different people that are helping me out. you know, you guys know Dan Van Lan and Chopper from Hobart. He's the one that got me on the show here today. He's
do been not help- know him. I will. I may or may not owe him a few dollars for a bet I made that did not turn out right. I'm not saying anything about that, but just guys
like that with a lot of connections in the community are able to help me out. And
hey, tell me, Brian, how is Brown County, Greater Green Bay doing when it comes to this? This issue, are we?
I think we're doing great. I mean, okay, I travel around the state, yeah. and I've actually been around the country to different trainings and things on how this MDT process—it's a team thing—works, multidisciplinary team. And other states and other agencies are behind us, actually.
All right.
And they always talk about how we're on the cutting edge of coming up with things. And Christy, to her credit, is like one of the most best interviewers in the state.
Wow!
Thank you, Brian.
So if we're doing it right, we got to do more of it. You know what I mean? Like, don't throttle back. Let's raise some more money. Let's really lean into this
thing.
Yeah, and
we need to keep that service going because people don't understand how crucial that is and how vital it is to not just the law enforcement side of it. It's the bigger picture of this child needs to have the support and needs to be able to recover. And we need to provide those services and their ability for them so that they can grow and move on from
addressing a child's trauma and helping them and providing them with support really helps them turn into healthy, productive adults in the future.
That's fantastic.
Wow, it's good stuff.
Todd, we got to get them back.
You got it.
Right. Absolutely. Right. Well, best of luck to you. Better start working out. Looks like you're a little out of shape.
Yeah, I know. I'll head out for a jog.
Were you a Navy SEAL? Is that a Navy SEAL?
From the Brown County Dive Team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This guy, 23 and a half hours, he's going to drop dead. I can just see him.
No.
Man.
Brian Slinger, Christy Sickle, 24-hour ultra relay coming up on Washington Island. Proceeds going to the Willow Tree Cornerstone Child Advocacy Center. And Todd, we're going to have that on our Facebook, right?
Yep, we'll have it.
How people can donate.
Yep.
All the friends of the program, come on, rally around this one. This is a fantastic one. Thank you both so much for being here.
Yes, thanks, and I'm halfway to my goal. So the more people you can get me, the better.
All right.
We'll get it.
We'll do it. All Happy 4th.
Want to see the action live? Watch Mino and the Mayor streaming weekday mornings on Facebook Live. Search for Mino and the Mayor or WISS or WGBW. Jump in, leave a comment, and be a part of the conversation. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Man, those were two impressive guests. Brian Slinger, Brown County Sheriff's Department, Christy Sickle from the Willow Tree Cornerstone Child Advocacy Center. They were great. He's, of course, doing the 24-hour ultra relay on Washington Island to raise funds. Todd's going to put some stuff on our Facebook down the road here, and we get the flyer and everything.
Yeah, we'll do that.
He said he's halfway there. We'd love to help him get to his final goal.
You see that text that just came in?
Okay. The felony wasn't John stealing the bowling shoes. It was living behind his shoes. The stench radiating from them caused multiple manslaughter charges. Todd,
that is
from
funny.
Deep here. That is a true story, though. I walked out with the bowling shoes on, and I realized that night when I took them off at home. But first thing the next morning, they called, Mr. Mino, did you walk away with a pair of bowling shoes? Yeah. How you doing? We got a very special guest, Patty Hendrickson, in Moving with the Malcors. How are you?
Real good. And you?
Good. First of all, congratulations on your anniversary. Is your husband listening?
Yes.
Okay, wish him happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Nice.
Gonna sing for him, John?
Pardon?
Gonna sing for him?
Happy anniversary, dear Patty. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Thank you.
So how many years have you been married?
33.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
So, yes. All right. And John, just, you know, his... you know how you remember things, certain things that happened, you know? His was... that was the year the... Pink Flamingo tournament.
Eventually, the Pink Flamingo. Everything is sports related. My memory just works around that. Yeah. Patty, Moving with the Malcors, tell us a little bit of how's it going out there? What's the market look like?
Not bad. It's starting to come back into Central, which is nice.
There's more on the market, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And pricing isn't crazy.
No, it's not. It's starting to be actually where people can't afford certain homes in certain situations, certain areas. It's getting better.
I think I'm not blaming us, but I think the media in some cases built, like even with the Packer draft, it was kind of like built up media story after media story. $5,000 a night for your house. Whether you know,
John, that's don't feel bad. The media did build this thing up.
Oh, a lot. A lot.
And with people listing a house now, it's like, I got a friend who said at your rate 350 instead of 175. And it's coming back to real life.
Yeah, it's not going to go back where it was because there is a supply and demand problem. COVID did play into that. But, I mean, I was feeling so sorry for some of these kids. Not only kids. I can say
first
that because I'm
buyer types, young.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I can't believe you spent that money. And I know what you make. And that's just a lot of house for what you make. You can afford it, but
right. You're
married to that house now, too.
You are. You better plan on staying there for a long, long time.
Right. So I'm glad that it's getting... Everybody's entitled to make a profit, but I mean, come on.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay, well, that's good to hear.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, renting or buying. Okay, we've talked about that. Okay. I know what you're going to think, but some people do get trapped in a little bit of a corner. And this is something we talked about the other day that I still sticks in my craw is the unbelievable prices for property taxes. And some of these elderly people, maybe their mortgage is paid off, but they still have $7,000 or $8,000 to come up with every year for property taxes.
Right. And Wisconsin is one of the worst states.
Eighth, I believe, right? Kristen Ambrose we had on?
Why are we in the top 10? I don't understand.
I know. Tell me why.
We tried one time. Remember, I think California, that was a long time ago, but they just froze them. And if you're 60, but I don't know, for some reason we can't do that here, but wouldn't that be nice if once you're 65, you kick in Social Security if you want, 62, whatever, and your property taxes are frozen. You sell your house, it's gone. But you know they've worked their whole lives. They paid taxes their whole lives. Actually, you're gonna use less services because you're probably not gonna have kids when you're 65 to send them into the schools, which is the largest part of your property taxes.
Correct.
So it's like, and you're probably not. It's like, maybe you don't drive as much, maybe you don't use the streets as much, but still, we want you to live here. You've lived here your whole life. You've contributed to our community. We're gonna freeze it at whatever. $3,500.
Right.
And,
they just won't. They keep raising them.
And like you said, $6,000 is a lot of money.
Oh, it is. Yeah, we live in West Apeer. And the kids are gone. I'm exactly what you're talking about.
I know you.
Exactly.
So are we.
So we pay $7,000 in
property
taxes.
That's what I paid in Ledgeview.
And you know what's kind of funny, though? Where that Lost Dauphin Road is? The people on the river don't pay that because they are not the city of De Pere. They are actually the town of Lawrence. The doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs figured that out. So they pay less than we do across the street.
Wow.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good example. There's other good examples, too, and I'm talking to you, the same house. They even look the same.
Yeah.
Right across the street from each other. Now, that happens in municipalities, and that's just crazy.
Right.
And they always say that, taxes are, fair and... They're not. Mm-mm.
No, they're not. Not at all. I mean, we don't have kids going to schools anymore. Mm-hmm. But where we are, we've got the beautiful streets, the beautiful parks, but our interest rate is so low, there's no way we're moving.
Right.
But every time that tax bill rolls around, I'm like, this is what I'm paying for. Mm-hmm. Stuff I'll never, I'm not using anymore.
Mm-hmm. Where I was, they had garbage pickup once a week. Nothing else.
Ah.
You know what I mean? That's what you're paying for. Nothing else.
I will say, we lived, before we moved into Green Bay, and our taxes were really low, but we didn't have anything. We moved to Green Bay, and we really liked the park system. We liked the garbage. We liked that, something bad happened, something's going to be there right away.
Mm-hmm.
But then we got used to that at, like I said, X a thousand, and then that keeps going up, but nothing changed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my point, and that's what you're saying, too. And we had
crazy.
Yeah.
How often do you have to deal with, because, the one thing... When I took studied for my real estate exam, really opened my eyes to a lot of things that more people should kind of know about.
Yeah, exactly.
that is kind of our job.
Like assessment fees and all these different things, even easements and all those kind of things. But there, as a realtor, and somebody like you who's been in for a while, the ins and outs, I bet there's times where you have to sit people down, like first-time homebuyers or whatever, and say, okay, we need to talk about everything that comes into this play.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems a little too easy on these sell my house real estate shows and everything. You have to really take these people that haven't gone through the trenches of this before and educate them a little bit, don't you?
You do. You absolutely do. I'm dealing with a couple of first-time home buyers and not understanding so many things about their mortgage loan itself. Why am I putting earnest money down? When all the things that we as real estate agents have to be very clear with these first-time home buyers. But when they have a HUD financing and these houses are going like that so fast, they don't have a chance. It's so sad to watch this transpire. It's like I said before, it's getting better.
Right.
But the people in the 250, 3.25 range, and that's all they can afford, they go so fast. Yeah. And it's disheartening.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. And then we talked about whether you should rent or own. And I my thing is never rent because I like to build equity. But to overpay $100,000, maybe you want to rent and wait till it cools down.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You're the realtor, but
I 100% agree with you. And with the senior market as well, sometimes that renting is a better option. It's, you know, it's like we don't have to worry about anything. We
right.
don't have to lawn care, all that other stuff. It's a smaller place now. That's key. But yeah, it depends financially where you're at, where you are location-wise. We were just talking about living in a metro area versus rural. All those things play into it.
And the thing is, we're talking about, too, like if I had stayed up where I'm from, I would have started working in the iron ore mines the day after I graduated from high school.
Right.
Made a great paycheck up there for a lot of years.
Sure.
Probably would have bought a house for about $22,000 a year. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
and
right.
that's the way my parents did it and their parents. And then the world just changed a little bit. And it's just, it's a different era out there. As a realtor, what do you try to get across to people when somebody says, hey, would you be my buyer's agent or things like that? What do you really try to get across to them?
Again, there are so many different avenues that you can take. Yeah. What's your budget? What can you actually seriously, honestly afford? Yes, they're going to lend you X dollars. Be sure you can afford that. I'm very clear with my young buyers, especially. Don't see the, So that's very important for me to get across to them. You want an inspection? I get it. But understand, you're not going to get this house. It's, you know.
Isn't that amazing
terrifying.
When you think about that?
Yeah.
And would you allow your child to buy a house with an inspection?
No. But they're not going to, they're going to be living with me because
you're right.
Because
they won't get it because somebody else will say, no, I don't need an inspection.
Yep. Yep.
Too much emotion in buying a house. But
very much.
Very
much.
Yeah. And they need, you know, the parents, but sometimes we got to step away too, you know? Because
yep.
they're so, like, I just remember my daughter buying a house and I just, like, that was crazy. That was more than I spent on our house. And I think we had it by 30 years. And I'm like, Hannah, I'm not going to weigh in on this because I can't get my arms around that dollar amount.
Right.
And they got to figure it out. But then they do and they did. But
and then he found out what she was making a year.
Okay, go ahead, buy it.
Why don't you buy me a house too?
Right. Medical school did pay off.
That is true. The world's different on a couple things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, incomes are a little bit higher.
Right.
Patty Hendrickson moving with the Malcors.
Yeah.
Yes, love it.
Patty,
I love it.
Let's talk a little bit, just if you don't mind, real estate as an industry.
Yes.
You've obviously been successful in it. Would you encourage that to?
Not for the faint of heart, I wouldn't. and I say that because there is so much emotion that goes into being a real estate agent. And if you don't have that empathy, you really shouldn't be in this industry. If you're in it just for the money, it's a shame because these are huge decisions people are making. This is a home that you're buying or you are selling. It's not just a house. If you don't have that empathy for people, I tell you, it's not a good profession for you to be in.
Well, you don't know the predators that are out there. And Kristen talked about that last week, the predatory lending and all these different things where, you know, the bait and switch type things. There's so much that, and you're locked in. I mean, this isn't one of those things where it's like, that car didn't work out. I'm selling it and put it on eBay. You're locked in. You've invested. And another thing, they make it look so easy. We were talking about you can look on your phone, mortgage, blah, blah, blah. Oh, we can afford that. But it doesn't give you a hint of all the other things.
No.
Isn't that true?
Absolutely true. And you have to spend that time. You have to. I don't care if it's a first-time home buyer or mom and dad. Now dad died. What's mom going to do? That's kind of my world more so than anything. I'm a senior real estate specialist. So I deal with the elders. And I make sure that they understand what to them, what is it you want? Do you want to stay here? Or now that dad's gone, daughter is in Arizona. She wants you out there. But you're giving up your church, your community. You're letting that go to live with your daughter.
That's, have a support system, you know, yeah. Your neighbors maybe. Yeah.
Sometimes you don't think about that, because the emotion's so high because dad just died. And you're just and the kids just kind of, oh, here they come. They all have opinions on how mom should live her life. Mm-hmm. But if she's of a good sound mind or he's of good sound mind, listen to them. Understand what they want. That's my biggest thing with being with this market, the senior market. Tell me all you can about yourself, where you're at, where you want to be. You hear so much more when you take the real estate out of it for a minute. And then you can go. I mean, if I sell their house, great. If I don't, it's okay. I know in my heart of hearts that I've helped him or her figure out how to move forward in life.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. A lot more than a piece of property. Oh. I mean, I think that's great that you're doing that. And we have many, many guests come on at different times, and that socialization is so critical in life to be, you know, that if it's not, it leads to depression. It can actually lead to something even worse.
I was going to say, there are studies that could be lower your life expectancy. Yeah. I mean, that's such a big thing. Your 100%. Thriving aspect of it.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to send her a quick break. This is really fascinating stuff, Patty.
Yeah, that's cool.
Patty Hendrickson, Moving with the Malcors, specializing in senior
real estate specialist.
Real estate specialist. Good stuff. Back after this.
Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep, he can't hang around.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Man, we've had a phenomenal lineup, starting with Cheese Curd Nick right from the get-go, and then Brian Slinger and Christy Sickle. 24-hour ultra relay on Washington Island. Proceeds going to the Willow Tree Cornerstone Child Advocacy Center, which is phenomenal. And Patty Hendrickson. And you know what? Sometimes I'm glad we talked during the breaks, because you just sometimes you get more things that open your eyes and you don't want to talk about outside. But that it is a tough world out there in the real estate business. You've been doing it now, and you said you're okay with just the commission thing because you've done successful and you're used to it. But it could be tough for young people getting in on that. But you're talking about an aspect that no one really talks about before with the senior real estate, being a senior real estate specialist.
Yep.
Tell everybody what that involves and why, if somebody's mom or dad, or many times, unfortunately, it's just the mom or the dad, you know, has to make a big decision. Mm-hmm. Tell them what you can offer them.
What we as specialists in the senior market do is we sit down with the mom or the dad and their family members, but primarily we want to sit down with the seniors and really get to the heart of what they're looking for. Listen to them. See where they're at. There's so much emotion in it. But just, you know, get down to the core of it. Where do you want to live? Have you thought about these things? If you move to Arizona, do you realize that now you lose your church connection, your friends, do you understand that?
Yeah. When Magnum PI comes on and talks about reverse mortgages, do you address that, or do you send them to the bank? Or
that's where I send them to the specialists. I don't address that at all because I don't know enough about reverse mortgages.
They're convincing.
Yeah. Oh, they are.
Most commercials are convincing. Yeah. You study those things till hell won't have it. But okay, because boy, do they mislead people on some of these funeral things.
That's what we mentioned about the predatory type.
Right.
Yes. Okay. It's terrible. And there again, they're going to get advice from their kids, their friends, their it's like,
their friends.
Go to the
uncle.
Experts. Yeah.
I bet there's times where you like to say, would you kids step out of the room?
Oh, I have.
Have you?
Let's go get coffee,
right,
Sarah.
Right.
And, you know, just you and me.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Senior law, too. Dan Walsh. He is the guy.
Yeah, he's great.
For senior law.
Oh, that's cool.
I love having sessions with him. I do a lot of that where I go to places and let's have Dan talk about what you need to have.
And it is a different, I don't know if niche is the right word, but it's, things are different for that group, and I think that's great that you specialized in that.
Oh, it's my heart. It really is.
I mean, I can tell.
Yeah, I I find great joy. My mother, she lived with me for a year and a half, and then now is with another sister. But I really learned a lot about the market. I sold her home, and just going through that whole process, that is a very sad thing to go through.
Right.
But it's also can be very enlightening, and now they know they're moving to the next journey.
Right. So after this, I'm picking up my mom's 93, and we're going for the 4th of July. And what a process that was after my dad died. But I think, you know, yes. To have someone come in, sell the house, not sell the house, and then one of the greedy kids want to buy the house at this price, It's like, that ain't going to happen. But anyway, that's cool that you did that you have all that experience, and You seem like pretty forward.
So if somebody's listening out there and their parent or parents, you know, it's like, oh, mom,
should we
dad,
sell the house or
you
not?
Know, maybe it's too much for you, maybe whatever. Give them some advice and how to get a hold of you.
Absolutely.
Right. Definitely. Talk to your parents, to our mom or dad, whatever the situation is. See what they want, and then contact me and let me guide you to the different avenues of help. Sometimes we've got a dementia situation. Yeah. That's very, very typical. ADRC is the source to go to, and I can direct them to that. And a lot of times I go with them to the Mug Club on a Wednesday night, and we talk with other people that have these situations. It's just that connecting them to the right people. That's so important.
And getting it from professionals who are passionate about this.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Not their niece's cousin's brother who's...
Right. Right. And again, with siblings, you've got polaring different ideas, and that's hard on the parent, because you know, especially our generation moving forward, we're pleasers. We want to make sure our kids are okay. We give them everything that they want. You know, we got to really center in on what is it you want.
If anybody was watching the stream, Jim and John just kind of gave each other the side eye. So what kind of communication was that from you guys?
We have no comment. Got some text here. Say hi to Patty for me. She's been to my house for Halloween party. She's a great friend of my wife, Brenda. That's from Gizmo.
Hey.
Another one here. It's from my good friend, Kathy, who I'm doing projects with. A reverse mortgage is really bad. I'm so happy you care about seniors.
I do. Thank you for that. Yeah.
And the thing is, ironically, we're talking during the break. We both graduated in the same year, high school, so we're not seniors ourselves, but we care for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
So there you go. What'd you say?
Of course not.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's great that you care for them. I think this is great that you're...
I do, too.
I mean, and you're... Look, it shows, too. I mean, you're not... doing this for the money. You said that, but you didn't have to say that. This is, thanks for doing this. And we're in a market where we have seniors. I mean, you look at places in...
We live long here.
I'm just saying that you look, but the average age, like in this community, we're just looking in Utah, it was like 28. You know, it's a little older here.
Oh, Tad. Yeah.
But I think that's great that you're addressing that.
I can't, moving with the Malcors, Patty Hendrickson, please give her a call. Please contact her. I can't think of you, and I mean this sincerely, okay? Some people bring their mom or dad in or whatever, that you're going to treat those people exactly the way you've treated your mom.
100%.
That's what I mean.
Yep.
Cool.
You can see it. How do people get a hold of you?
They can contact me. I am online. You can visit my website, or I'm at 920-264-3015. Give me a call. It's probably the best way to get a hold of me, or text me, and I'll get back to you right away.
And what was your website again?
My website is pattyhrealestate@gmail.com.
That's good that you can pull it off like that.
Yeah.
That was good.
High tech
that
on top
very
of it.
Good. So. This has been great having you here. And again, this is such a great service for our community.
Thanks.
Because, you know, we've both, you know, had our toes in the water with, you know, with real estate. And we've seen good and bad and whatever. So you're one of the really good people.
Aw, thanks.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a great 4th.
You too.
Thanks for being here. When we come back, we've got headlines for the Press Times, and he brought all his friends. He bought five guys with big old instruments. The power...
What?
Big old instrument. Okay, Todd, really?
Jim looked at me too.
Big mouth of power tool horns. Back up this.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.